What's up, boys? Welcome to In the Grip Podcast. Josh Berry here with my partner, AJ Cooper. AJ, what do you know, man?
Nothing too much. Just glad to be sitting here, getting ready to talk about golf again. It's always been too long every time we do this.
It's deer season, so we're kind of occupied with that a little bit.
True. We got to the end of the golf season, and then deer season started. But I believe we both laid the smack down on whitetail, so we can check that off our list of stuff to do this year.
Yep, I'm back in golf mode now.
Yep, golf mode it is, at least for the next couple hours while we talk about this.
Hell yes.
And I don't know, we should probably introduce our guest over here.
You know what? You've known him longer than I have. Tell me how great he is.
Okay, well, today, or this evening on the show, our guest is Tim Schrag. If you played Scramble Golf, you probably know Tim. He gets around the Scramble Tour quite a bit. Head coach at Culver Stockton, lots else. We should probably let him tell us about, his golf background and all that. And, he was a former teammate of mine in college golf days and, good friend of mine. We've had a bunch of fun together since then.
Tim, what's happening, boys?
Hey, good to have you here.
Yeah. Thanks for it. We finally pulled it off, huh?
Yeah. It's been a while.
But yeah. It had to get cold outside, but finally got it done.
We got you in here. I think Tim is probably our number one fan of the pod. He's listened to every one.
Yeah.
I mean, every time I send him one through Snapchat, he always messes me right back and said, yeah, I listened to it last night when it came out at 12:30. So.
Well, I press refresh on my phone, and I'm just waiting for you boys, and I'm at the gym in the morning, and I'm searching, and still nothing new. So
yeah,
glad I can be part of the new show here.
Yeah, we'll have to get this one out, and then we'll have to get on it and get more out to you.
Yep,
that's right. So first of all, tell us what you know. What you been up to?
Not much. Season winding down, as you said, coaching golf at Culver Stockton, and we winding down season, just working out with the boys and being at home, being pretty bored.
How long you been up there at Culver?
This is my 11th year.
11th year.
Wow.
That's unbelievable.
That is. And some accomplishments up there, too. Yeah, how many times have you won conference?
We won twice, 2014, 2015. You know, we had a pretty good run. We're building a new run right now.
Good.
We've got a freshman from Germany, and I've got a little pipeline going right now. Talking about three more from Germany and looking at some local kids, and I think we're going to see some success coming again pretty soon.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Dipping into that Euro blood too. That's a smart move.
Yeah. I mean, they've got some fire. They got some passion. I mean, we were talking about the Ryder Cup earlier before we started this, and they bring some energy. I'm pretty excited where we're heading.
Yeah. And it's good to go over there. I was listening to something with John Rahm earlier today, and he talked about how he had only been recruited by one school in the United States, John Rahm.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And he was the number 14th ranked amateur in the world, but nobody recruited him. University of San Francisco was the only team that recruited him, and it turned out it was by chance that he ended up at Arizona State. Basically, they had a guy back out on him. And just a luck deal.
Yep. I heard that. I've seen that story.
Otherwise, he was going to the only school that recruited him. So get over there. Who knows? You might recruit the next John Rahm.
I wish I would have recruited him.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah. It's a nice little pipeline they got going on. And those guys come over a year older than your normal high school kids. And they seem to have a little bit more competitive experience. And, you know, they get over here and they're ready to go. They're ready to get after it. So
that's cool.
You know, if we can tighten up a few things along with the local kids, I mean, we've got some talent this year. So hopefully we can get some and build this thing back up to where it was when Baggett and Johnny were playing over there.
That's right. You've had some stud locals go up there too.
Yeah, that's been kind of a selling point, you know, with stay local, you get some media attention. People kind of follow you a little bit more, and then when you get out and stick around, it's kind of fun to be proud of what you accomplished. I mean, mm-hmm. when you talk to Baggett, mm-hmm. you talk to Johnny, qualifying, going to the national championship, that's not something many people get to do.
So you were talking about that 14 and 15 team that were pretty good, both them 2 years. So I'm going to name off some of the guys. You tell me if they're on it, but I think most of our crowd, our audience that listens to this knows them. So Baggett was on one or two of them teams.
Hunter Baggett was on the second year.
Big John.
Big John was the second year.
Drew Horner.
He was on the first year.
And probably the last one I know would be Tyler Barr. And
Tyler Barr was on both of them.
Yep.
And then we had a guy named Cody Ryber. He's been playing over here a couple times. Ryan Keller, he's from Wentzville. He was a kid I recruited and kind of brought Big John with him. So without Ryan Keller, Big John wouldn't have maybe been here. Who else? Oh, Zach Pfeiffer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, ZKP.
Yep. So all those guys were pretty local. I mean, the farthest way you go is Wentzville. That's what, 90 miles?
Yeah. Yeah, those are all local.
That's as local as you get.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tyler Barr's from Rushville.
Mm-hmm.
Baggett from Palmyra. ZKP from Quincy. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And, you know, it's fun when you show up. I mean, you were a coach, AJ. It's fun when you show up expecting to win a golf tournament.
Yes. Yeah, it's a completely different feeling there.
It's funny because Baggett was talking about Barr in college. And Barr now likes to drink beer and likes to party and loves to play golf and plays good golf at that. But he said that if you weren't at practice or you didn't stay after and putt or chip or do something, Barr was on your ass.
Yeah, that's the thing we talk about, the Euros being experienced, but that's a side of golf that you can't replicate. I mean,
right.
Them guys, how they got good was they got there before practice started and they stayed after practice. Yeah, they all had fun. Trust me, they had a lot of fun. Barr didn't hold back any stories.
Yeah.
But I mean, when it was go time, it was go time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, I was kind of like a friend to them almost, not even their coach, but when it was time to it was time to chew their ass.
Yep. And I know they call you coach still to this day, but, you know, I think they see you more as a friend than a coach anymore now. So that's cool for you as you recruit these guys, and then, you know, you're going to have a lifelong friendship with them too.
Yeah, it's golf. I mean, I tell everybody this. Golf brings lifelong relationships. I was in a bunch of weddings from people I played high school golf with. And now I'm going to be in Baggett's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of cool. It's almost like I'm a parent to him. But
well,
yeah.
I was actually, AJ, listening back to one of our pods with Shane Spaulding, and I think we had Michael and Ryan in here, and we were talking about how golf kind of brings some of us together. I mean, and Baggett, I'm in his wedding now, and Baggett and I wouldn't, you know, we wouldn't be friends if it wasn't for golf, and me and you and Butler and AJ and you know what I mean? That's what's cool about it.
Yeah.
We've talked about it a million times, but
yeah, but it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. It happens, and you know, I know I appreciate all those relationships.
Yep.
And I know you guys do too, and it's, you know, we're lucky. We get to do that, and it's cool.
I mean, yep. I wouldn't have known AJ without golf.
No, that's very true.
I mean, how I met AJ was I was playing golf at John Wood, and Clinton Cedar calls me up and says, "Hey, there's this kid from Monroe City that you need to call and bring to John Wood next year." All right, what's his name? Give me his number. So I literally called AJ, said, "Hey, you need to come play golf at John Wood."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, sounds like a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I was I was deciding where I was going to go play, and John Wood, I was interested in it because Clinton, I'd played high school golf with him, and then I was Central Missouri. I was talking to the coach there and was basically going to have an opportunity to walk on there. And, yeah, Tim called me and said, you know, come play with us. And he said something about how, you know, we're going to be good. We're going to win. And I was like, yeah, I want to play on a team that I get to go win. So
yeah, and that turned out to be a pretty fun sophomore year.
Yeah, we played 1 year of college golf together. And how many wins? We had 3 wins.
No, I think we had 4 in a row in the fall.
Yeah. So, yeah.
We're ranked number 2 in the nation for JUCO.
Yeah, we did good. We made a national tournament, and it was a lot of fun. Competing like that is just – it's a blast.
And that goes back to when we showed up for those tournaments, we expected to win.
Yeah. When you got there and you got to the first tee, whatever tee you were on, and you saw your group, you know, the goal was, just kind of beat their faces in.
You know, I remember a tournament, too. I think it was Wren Lake. I'm kind of a crazy stats person. But I think our number 1 man shot like 149 for 2 days. And our number 5 man shot like 152.
Yeah, we were all right there together.
Yeah. So it was
not much difference.
1 through 5 was like interchangeable.
Yep.
And
I think we felt that way too when we all showed up. We all knew that we were all good and probably going to shoot a score that day. It was, yeah, it helps to have teammates that you can feel like you can rely on, and then also, you know, you want to go out and score for them too.
Yeah, it was, you know, even today I tell my guys, it's, you know, you're not just playing for yourself, even though golf is an individual mm-hmm. sport. You know, if you hang your head and you're, you know, having a bad time, they see that.
Yep.
And that's one thing we did really, really well. Was, you know, we were always pumping each other up and, you know, kind of getting the most out of what we had. And,
right.
I mean, it's, I don't care what level you're on, winning four tournaments in a row is pretty good.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It's some good golf. But yeah, then, so I'm trying to remember back. I know you individually at least had one win in that stretch, I'm pretty sure. And then you went on to, you played Division II at QU.
Mm-hmm.
I know you won at least once at QU.
Yep. I had all conference both years at John Wood. I won the Culver invite at John Wood when it was held at Quincy Country Club. You remember that, how cold that was?
Yeah.
It was like 36 degrees and raining.
Did you remember? I was hurt.
And you were holding the club.
Yeah. I'd hurt my wrist, and so I had to come up with some modified swing. It was ridiculous.
I won that one. I won at QU. I won the Maryville Invitational at Aberdeen down by Eureka.
Yeah, I know Aberdeen.
And I think that was my only two wins.
That's pretty good. Two wins at the college level. That's, I mean, you've been playing good golf, competitive golf for a long time, ever since I've known you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You've always just been a stud. I mean, short game is what I've always been impressed with. I mean, you're good throughout the bag, but, you know, when it comes to hitting wedges and putting.
Yeah, I've never been known as the ball striker. I think anybody like who we introduced who's played with me in a scramble, I'll hit some shots off the map. But if you play with me in a scramble, I think I've probably made a putt on you before.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody knows that's true. Yeah, so, and me and you, we've had a pretty good scramble run together. Won the four-man here at Mosswood a couple times.
Yeah.
Won other ones, played a lot of golf together, won a lot of money, which helps out.
Keeps the wives happy.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's us play some more golf.
That's right. You also had another win this fall. Came over to Monroe to our little club championship and decided to put it on everybody.
I know. I was expecting to see the trophy here.
Oh, yeah, it's still out at the clubhouse. I did send you a picture of it, right? Yeah. Yeah, I should have it here so you could drink out of it and everything like that. But, no, you are a club champion. I don't know if you knew this, but it's required of club champions to join the golf course next year. So you will be a member next year.
Yeah, that sounds weird. I think I know a lot of people out of Monroe anymore, so
yeah. You do.
You're one of the guys.
Yep, you fit right in.
I think we've had a good time out there, so yep. I wouldn't have any problem playing out there.
That's good. All right, so anything else to say about that club championship?
No, it was a lot of fun. I didn't know what to expect. You know, I kind of felt in the way, really. I mean, I know I play out here a lot, but, you know, I didn't want to take anything away from the Monroe boys who – you know, pay the dues out there and everything. It felt like a Monroe Open, though, which was kind of fun. But, man, it was good weather for later in the year. And just anytime you can tee it up and play your own ball and have the competitive juices is fun. And, you know, I know you got off to kind of a shaky start, but, you know, you were right there the entire day, and we knew Benson was playing well and Butler was always going to play well. And just playing for something is always fun, and it was awesome time. Hopefully we can get, you know, bag it back over there and playing and fill the field a little bit more next year.
Yeah, I had a blast that day too. I thought we had a bunch of good players, really solid players there, which made it even more fun. And we talked about that too, how maybe we should have called it the Monroe Open instead of the club championship, but it doesn't matter. If you show up to all our scrambles, you play in our club championship. That's the way I see it. So yeah. And
well, yeah. With that being said, you were talking about playing your own ball and some of that stuff, and I remember being at Magus Bachelor Party. We were actually playing up at Spirit Hollow, and I told Shreg, we got talking about this, I said, all right, Tim, so what's your favorite tournament of the year? And you said, man, I don't know. I kind of really like Monroe's One Man. Mm-hmm. You know, it kind of kicks the year off, and so we started talking from there because it's my favorite tournament of the year, and I've said for you know, I don't know how many times on this podcast, but I said, you know, if it had as many guys in it as the four-man does, teams, I said, I would, you know, it would for sure be my favorite, but I think it probably is my favorite because it's you're playing golf.
Mm-hmm.
You have nobody to rely on but yourself. So, with that being said, I think you probably know where I'm going with this. You probably are a Hall of Famer in Monroe's one man.
Oh, man.
So, and you know where I'm going with this.
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
So, did you start on hole two on Sunday?
Yeah.
So go ahead and tell me about Saturday. Tell everybody about Saturday what happened, and then fill us in on what happened Sunday and how did your day start on Sunday.
Oh, my God. So, Saturday wasn't a very good day. I think I probably shot like 5 under, maybe, which for a one man's not, you know, you're planning on playing championship flight. It's not very good. And I was actually pleading to AJ to keep me in champ just in case he can go low the next day or whatever. But I was at the top of A, and I don't remember who I was with. Griff, Benson, and you guys remember who else I was with?
No, I don't.
Oh, Seward.
Matt Seward.
Seward, yeah. Starting on two because we were in the A flight.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I just hate number two. I always have. Just something with the visual. And yeah, snap hook first drive. All right, whatever. You got another one.
Yeah.
Snap hook that one. Oh, fuck. Go to my drop zone. Snap hook. Oh. Now you got the shakes going on.
Now we've tensed up a little bit.
So now you're hitting three from, you know, still got to carry the water a little bit. And snap hook that one. So now I'm hitting five. I'm like, well.
You're hitting five from the drop
zone. I'm hitting five at this point. Long story short, I find Earth, make an eight.
Make an eight, which you're probably thrilled to death.
Well, yeah, so I kind of make a birdie, but after four breakfast balls.
Yeah.
So start with an eight. I'm like, well, I'm either going to start making a lot of birdies or I'm going home.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm three over par in a scramble,
mm-hmm.
and this is no good. So step up. It's attack mode from here on out. Rest of the day. I birdied three. I hit it. I think I almost made a hole in one. Birdie three, four, five, six, seven, eagle eight, par nine, birdie one.
So you got it back pretty quick.
I got it back pretty quick. How many? Five birdies and eagle.
So was that eight the best thing that ever happened to you?
Yeah, it might have been. So, I mean, I've never in my life had a stretch like that.
Went on to win a flight?
Yeah.
And you get done doing that, and these other dudes are like, we hear Shreg's good, and he's just ticked.
Right, yeah. What are they talking about?
Like, the funny part was, though, is like Griff and Seward and Benson, they count me out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I am no worry of them at this point anymore. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I wasn't thinking that either. And, you know, whatever. Yeah, make a birdie. You still make third birdie in a row. It's all right.
He's even.
You know, I'm still up three on him or whatever at this point. But it was funny because Benson adds up the scorecard after the front nine. He goes, well, fuck, we're tied.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think I think I shot like five or six on the nine, too.
Yeah. So. I think I had it for you would have shot 13 that day if you would have just made par on a par five.
Yeah. So it was something that I've never done, but it was like you hear all the pros talk about, you have to go for it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and at that point it was either go for it or go home.
Yeah.
'Cause I'm not going to waste my time because, mm-hmm. you know, it's still 5 or 6 hours
mm-hmm.
and making no money. I'm pissed off anyway. So
yep,
you go for it and it worked out that day. It's something that no one's going to forget. I certainly won't forget
it. Yeah.
That is one thing, you know, we all talk about. It comes close to that time of the tournament, the one man, of the four man, of whatever. And you always talk about certain things that have happened. I mean, every year, that one man, somebody's always saying, remember when Shreg went eight on two and then birdie, eagle, par, birdie.
Yeah. Yeah, and I, even to this day, I don't like teeing off on number two.
Yeah.
I told AJ that in the club championship. I said, well, I mean, I bitched out probably.
Yeah, you're aiming at four green.
Dude, I'm just not hitting in the
water. Yeah, it's in your head now.
I've donated like 72 golf balls to that water.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, that water gets me. too often too.
Yeah, but you get good shots in his water.
Yeah.
I hit four snapbooks.
All right. So I'm glad you brought that up because that is a famous story around Mosswood.
Mm-hmm.
What I wanted to bring up, so in your career, golfing career, you've had the opportunity to play with a lot of very, very good golfers. A lot of guys that have won on the PGA Tour.
Mm-hmm.
Guys that have played in Ryder Cups.
Mm-hmm.
You've played, I mean, and not just, I mean, you played 18 whole rounds with them and had an opportunity to watch their games. All right. I want to know, of all the guys that you've played with, who is the best? Who did you feel like was the best player that you've played with?
I mean, you know the answer to this, but let me back into this a little bit. So when we were doing junior golf, we wanted to teach the kids that you can go for your dreams, mm-hmm. right? And so we signed up for the Korn Ferry Monday qualifier. And I'm looking at the field. AJ was going down there too. And there's this one guy standing out there that I'm like, man, that'd be fun to play with him, but I don't really want to be paired up with him.
Mm-hmm.
And not too many people knew who he was at the time. And his name's Scotty Scheffler.
Everybody knows who he is now.
Everybody knows who he is now. And so the pairings come out on Saturday. And I'm looking for my name. And I see I'm paired up with Scotty Scheffler. It's going to be a lot of fun, but, you know, I knew his history. At that point, as an amateur, he'd already top 15 in the U.S. Open. He had played in some high-level events.
You're like, he's shooting 5-under in his sleep.
In his sleep, yeah. And so we get up to that day, and warming up, I don't see him anywhere. I'm on the first tee, and I don't see him anywhere. And all of a sudden, it's like God walking up to the tee because he's – 6'4", 6'5", and he's just massive, has this little swagger to him. He comes up, and he's ready to go. And so let me try to preface this for you. Gateway National, number one, I mean, you've got a landing strip to land Air Force One in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so nervous playing with Scotty Scheffler, and I'm older than him. I keep it in play by a ball. Right.
Just keep it in play.
Keep it in play. You can land a 737 on this fairway.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept it out of the tall shit by a ball. Scotty gets up there. He hits last. And I've never seen a golf ball hit so hard in my life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So he outdrove me by 110 yards. I had 177 yards in, I remember. And I asked him. He had 67 yards in to number one. I said, oh, God.
It's going to be a long day.
It's going to be a long day. And that was the most incredible round of golf I've ever watched in my life.
What did he shoot?
From tee to green, he hit 17 out of 18 greens and shot 65.
So he shoot seven.
He
or
shot.
Six.
He shot six under par, and he probably left four or five shots out there.
Yeah.
And I think I called AJ and I said, "That's the best guy I've ever played with, and this guy is going to win on tour."
Mm-hmm.
No, I remember the phone call because I was the first one out that day, and I was on the other course, and I was just excited to hear how Scotty Scheffler was. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I said. All right, so tell me about him. And you said, this guy's going to win a major one day.
No, yeah.
That's exactly what you said.
Yeah.
And he hasn't done it yet, but it really looks like that guy's going to win a major one of these days.
He's been knocking on the door to get his first win.
Yeah.
Right.
But seeing him in the Ryder Cup, like anytime you see his name, it's just so cool because he was, on top of being such a good player, he was the nicest guy you could find. You know, I was out there slapping it around that day. I didn't have my best day, but he was just encouraging, nicest guy you could find. I still got his phone number. He gave me his phone number. Probably biggest mistake of his life, giving me his phone number.
You text him after shit?
I have texted him twice in my life.
Yeah.
No but response?
He's responded, though. Really? He has responded.
That's cool.
I haven't texted him in probably 2 years, though.
You should have texted him after he beat John Rahm in the Ryder Cup. You know, like
he would not know who I am anymore.
right. But still, I would have been so pumped up I would have had to text him.
But, yeah, I mean – at that point, his downfall was probably his putter because he hit it to 10 feet every hole. The one green he missed, he got up and down.
Every time I see him, like you know, he'll be kind of in the final group of a tournament or something. He seems like one of them guys that his shirt's untucked and he's just here to play golf. He's not flashy. He doesn't care, you know. I mean, he's here to play golf, and that is what it is with him. It's what it seems like for me.
You know, and what's cool about it is, I went down and played the practice round the day before. I said, so did you come and play the course? He's like, nope. Rode around about 6 o'clock last night and shot some yardages. You know, that's what them boys do. They're so good. They know where their ball's going. He shot yardages, knew what he had to hit. Have you played Gateway National?
Yes. I've been on
number 10?
I've been on it once. Actually, we played a scramble there together.
Yeah, we did.
And,
yeah, we did.
And so I don't remember the golf course very well, to be honest.
Number 10, anyways, about a 300-yard par 4. You got water, a little creek to go over.
Yeah.
And I'm like, at this point, I think he made a turn at 3 under. And he has 3-iron out. I'm like, what is he doing laying up right now? Well, he had 3-iron on the front of the green.
How far is it?
It was a 280 carry.
Yeah, 280 carry, 3-iron. Yeah, no big deal.
And here I am. I'm hitting 6-iron out to the fairway to just try to break 80.
Right.
But, I mean, you could see, going back to playing some good players, you know, I played with Guthrie, played with a guy named Zach Burry, played with D.A. Wybring. Even you, throw you in there and throw Adam Pfeiffer in there. The sound that was made off of Scotty's club face is just, it's tour.
Yeah.
And it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And on top of the length, he has accuracy. His short game's good. And if his putter was on that day, he would have broke 60. I mean, it was really, really fun to watch. And, you know, I was nervous going into it, but I was extremely happy and blessed that I got that opportunity to play with him.
That's cool. Yeah, not many people. I mean, his career is going to be unbelievable when it's said and done, barring some crazy injury or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, he almost won last week. If he keeps putting himself in that, you know, chance, he's gonna break through at some point.
Right.
And I'm gonna be cheering for him right there. And same with Guthrie. I mean, I've grown up playing with Guthrie since I was probably 8 or 9 years old. And one of the craziest stories about him is he was 12 years old playing in Little People's, and I think he shot 65.
Ugh.
I mean, 65 doesn't even make sense to me still.
Yeah, he's been doing it a long time.
And, you know, he's one of the nicest guys, too. I hope, you know, a lot of people know him and follow him and kind of wonder what's going on with him. But, you know, the ball off his club makes a different sound, too. And, you know, all it takes in golf is 1 week. So hopefully he can find it and kind of right the ship a little bit, because he's too good of a player and too good of a guy not to be out there playing with those boys.
Yeah, I've watched him play since 2016. I've watched him play a lot of tournament rounds. I was at Q School 1 year. He was playing in it. Then watching him on Corn Ferry Tour events. And pretty much every time, like, as you watch the group play, you can just, with him, you can always say, like, okay, yeah, that guy's got a little something extra that the other guys in the group don't have. And I know he hasn't turned it into results the last couple of years or whatever, but he will. There's no doubt. You can't be that good at golf and stay away from, you know, top tens and stuff like that for a long time. It will turn around.
Yeah, he's got way too much talent. You know, he's even said it, and it's been a pretty tough ride for him the last year and a half. But, you know, even the breakthrough he saw, he basically won a one-day PGA Tour event when he qualified for the US Open.
Mm-hmm. I remember watching that
in 2019. I mean, you don't just go to that site in Ohio. I think he won by like 2 or 3.
And the field was loaded.
Loaded. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if you didn't qualify, it was freaking loaded.
It was a loaded. I mean, we're talking people like.
I remember watching that and was like, oh my God. I mean, he's just killing everybody.
Yeah.
And so, he did. He blew everybody out.
Knowing that it's in him, I think he can lean on that experience. He's got conditional status this year. He'll probably get a couple starts out of the first eight events. He needs to make those cuts on the starts that he gets. And, you know, all it takes is a good little run. I mean, if you get on a run and, you know, top 10, and then, you know, win or something, you've got your PGA Tour card.
Yeah, all of a sudden you're back on tour.
Two or three events and you're back on the big tour.
Right.
Everybody's got ups and downs. It's just everybody's a little bit different, you know. I mean, Guthrie's not a big star on the PGA, never was. I mean, Jordan Spieth, look how long, you know, and that's all you've seen on Golf Central was what's wrong with him, what's wrong with him. Mm-hmm. You know, Guthrie's just in that right now.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, just think about this, though. Guthrie shot, he played the Monday qualifier this week, shot 67, didn't even sniff making the tournament. 67, how many people would kill for 67 right now?
Right.
I see them Monday qualifiers, and you go and you look at the scores. I mean, it's unbelievable what you have to shoot. Guys play, put career rounds up and don't get a sniff.
Mm-hmm.
I just texted AJ about the Champions Tour guy. He turned a Monday qualifier into $1.2 million.
Right, and in full status and everything. Yeah.
And, you know, I would imagine that Luke will probably play a couple Monday qualifiers if he's not already in the event. But with conditional status, he's had it before. I would think he would probably get one or two starts out of the first eight events. But those are five or six of them are out of the country. So it's just a matter of I don't know if he would travel for those or not.
Right.
Maybe we'll just have to get him on and talk about it.
Right. Well, yeah. He would be a great one to have on here. But, his category he's in right now, he'll have to go to Monday qualifiers. And I know, I'm pretty sure the first 12 events, after the first 12, there becomes a period of time there where the guys who finished, you know, 41st to like 100th, like they kind of get their number gets called up mm-hmm. once or twice. So, you know, he may only get two to six starts because of this, but if in any of those starts he makes a check, if he makes the cut, that bumps him way up.
Mm-hmm.
And then if he would happen to Monday qualify one of the ones before and make a cut, then he's bumped right in.
Yeah.
And that's really all he has to do is get one opportunity and make a cut, and pretty much that it's going to get him a bunch of starts the rest of the year. So,
yeah, I think, and, you know, I know it's tough. It's a tough route to go. But again, there's not many players better than he is. And I don't, and, you know, there's not many players more experienced. I know it takes a lot to Monday qualify. Anybody can really do it. But, you know, I don't know what else Luke would do if he wasn't playing professional golf.
I would assume money's not an issue for him.
I think he made his money on the big tour to keep the dream alive for a few more years. I haven't asked him that question. I don't like asking that
rightfully
kind of question,
so. But
you know, I think he probably made about $4 million and then whatever he made in sponsors. So
yeah.
I think he's got plenty of time to keep it alive, but I just listened to a different podcast and it cost about $75,000 a year on the Korn Ferry Tour.
That's just travel.
Just travel. And,
yeah, that's your expenses for the year.
You know, so, you know, if you're not breaking even, you know, it's tough. Scott Langley just last night announced that he is retiring.
I saw that.
Langley golfed with Benson in the John Deere Classic.
Yep.
Yep. Langley was a pro. Lefty.
Yep. And he just announced that he was retiring from professional golf. And
yeah. What he's a year younger than us, maybe 2 years younger than us.
He's 2 years younger than us.
Yeah. Crazy. And yeah, he's done already.
He's got, I mean,
really?
He top 10 at Pebble. Just mm-hmm. 2 years ago.
I remember that.
So, yeah, I mean, those the traveling and the grind and kids getting in the way.
Yeah.
It's tough, and that's where we're hoping Luke can get back on the big tour because it's – I mean, even for you guys, it's fun to have somebody to connect to and follow.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, AJ, you know him a little bit better than Josh, but
– Yeah.
You know, it's just – I mean, he's such a good dude. He is.
He's so awesome. And he's great at golf, and yeah, so I root for him every week. Even the Monday qualifier this week, I was hitting refresh, just trying to see what he shot. You know, I follow the guy, and I root for him, and he's one of them. There's other guys that I've met along the way that I feel the same way about. I just kind of hope they make it. Guys that are grinding different places, and it's fun to watch them.
Yeah, you know? And it's just fun to follow somebody you kind of have a connection to, and you know, Luke's somebody that we can call up and he would do whatever we ask him to do. I mean, mm-hmm. if we call him up and ask him to be on the spot, he'll do it.
Yeah.
You know, he's just that kind of guy. Another name to throw out there to follow for people, you know, looking for golfers to follow next year would be Charlie Danielson. Charlie Danielson played at U of I. He came and talked to my golf team a couple of years ago, actually right before COVID hit. And he's kind of coming off a medical exempt status for the PGA Tour, and I believe he'll still get 3 or 4 starts on the PGA because he hasn't came back yet, and then he'll get about 4 or 5 starts on the Corn Ferry. So when Charlie Danielson comes back, I mean, that's going to be a name to keep in mind, and just another real good dude, somebody to cheer for that's kind of under the radar right now, needs a little support, needs a little love. AJ, you met him.
And yeah, I had the opportunity to meet him. Just awesome guy. Awesome. And actually, that day, he talked to us a lot about what he does to prepare for tournaments and just, you know, the mindset going into it. And I have a bunch of notes from that day.
Yeah.
I still look at those.
Yeah, me too.
I was so impressed by him that day that I kept those notes and I still look at them. So yeah, I'll be rooting for him.
He's one that I still stay in contact with, actually. Just ask how he's doing, how the knee's doing. He had a setback, and I mean, when you have 3 or 4 setbacks on the knee surgery, it's tough to stay positive. And he has been about the most positive guy you can meet, which, you know, I don't mean to get all sappy here, but I mean, that's pretty cool to see these guys that are going through that kind of grind. You know, it's costly just stick with it. But seeing somebody like that fight through it, kind of grinding in the gym and without opportunity to play, Charlie Dan is going to be a good one to follow next year.
All right, everybody, put that name in your minds and follow him. That'll be cool. We'll probably talk about him more on this pod.
So one other one you said earlier, I think, Zach Burry.
Mm-hmm.
So Burry, I started following. He played with you, AJ, in the 3-man.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Mosswood, and I'm bringing the story up just for some of our local guys that obviously played Mosswood a lot. So I seen Burry qualified for something. I can't remember what it was on the Corn Ferry Tour.
Yep, last year, Springfield, Missouri.
That's right. So I messaged Burry on Instagram and I said, "Hey man, been following you since, you know, the 3-man, whatever. Just, you know, good luck." I basically just told him I follow him. I know who he is. I played with him one day and, you know, kind of good luck. And he messaged me back. And anyway, so you guys were on number 5 and he went to Illinois State, right?
Yep.
And I remember all you guys going, you and who was your partner that day? You remember?
I think it was Tim.
Was it Trey?
Yeah, Tim.
Okay.
Yeah.
Both of you all went, and then I would assume he was last or something. Doesn't matter. But anyway, I remember he hit a ball, and you all couldn't find it on number 5, and it was actually down. So for your Mosswood guys, it was down in that ditch, left of the green, left of the cart path, left of the green. It was in that pond where we now have a tee box that goes over the tee for number 6. It was past that, down in that water hole.
It wasn't quite to the water. We actually played from there.
Did you?
Yeah, it was pretty much where our tee is for 6, our mm-hmm. new one. Yeah, it was like a 45-yard shot back up to the green.
So we actually drove the green.
Past, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Past it, yeah.
Yeah.
So just for some of the local guys, I mean, it's like you said, Tim, it just, when them guys hit it, it's different. And that's a Monday qualifying guy, not even a pro, you know?
Yeah, he made second stage this year for the Corn Ferry. He won, did he win the Wisconsin?
He got second at Wisconsin Open. The guy who won it is a stud amateur he got first place prize money.
Mm-hmm.
Second at and played extremely good at the Iowa Open. Yeah, he had some good mini tour run events this year. He qualified for a Corn Ferry Tour event just over a year ago.
I played with Burry about 5 years ago out at Westview. And we started on 10, and I think we were only going to play 9 holes, but he turned to like 30 or 31, and we got to number 9, and he putted everything out because he started, you know, getting on a run.
Yeah.
And he had about a 25-footer for 61 on number 9 and lift out.
Ooh.
So I watched it. I lost by 12. I shot 74 and lost by 12.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care where you shoot 62. The fact that you have a 62 in you is pretty good.
Yeah. Burry's unreal. He's a great player. I hope he sticks with it for a while. You can just tell by his scores that he's learning and growing as a player.
He's figuring it out on that score.
Yep. And he definitely, I mean, has the length, has the game.
He's got a hot putter too.
Yep. And, you know, I'd love to see him Monday qualify for a Korn Ferry Tour event, top 25. And then kind of, he's one that could do that little role where, you know, you just top 25 once and, you know, now you made money. And
well, I think, you know, playing well in that Wisconsin Open. And then playing well in the Iowa Open, and you know that gives you the good feels.
Yeah,
knowing that you can do. I mean, there are so many good players. There are so many Korn Ferry guys that play in those events. You know, you just don't think about it. So whether you're competing in that or whether you're competing in a Korn Ferry sanctioned event, I mean, doing it gives you that confidence that you can go on to the next level and do it.
Definitely.
And he was right there in second stage too after the first 2 days.
Right. Yeah. No, he's gaining experience. Yeah, he's another one. It'll be fun to watch him. I hope he gets the opportunity. That's another thing. It takes so much money to go out and do this year after year, and there's just not many opportunities to make a lot of money. And so you're basically just paying for your experience as you go until you finally get your chance.
Mm-hmm.
And so hopefully Burry gets the opportunity to continue at this for a while.
Well, and the Korn Ferry is supposed to, you know, have bigger purses this year. So,
yep.
You know, hopefully some of them guys like Luke and like, you know, if Langley would have played this year, have the opportunity to make a little bit of money and make a living out there. You know, in my opinion, that's the second best tour in golf.
Right, and it's crazy. And some of those guys out there are ranked, you know, pretty high in world ranking. And, if you look at other sports, like baseball, for example, or football, like if you go find the number 300 ranked player in football,
yeah.
I mean, they're making millions of dollars on some NFL roster. And you go find the number 300 on golf, and he might just barely be breaking even on the Korn Ferry Tour.
Yeah. I mean, there's people ranked just over 100.
Yeah.
Playing the Korn Ferry. I mean, look, just 2 or 3 years ago, Victor Hovland was on the Korn Ferry Tour. And he's won three times on the PGA Tour.
Yeah. Yep.
On the Ryder Cup team.
That Korn Ferry Tour is...
It's loaded.
I
mean,
I know there's a lot of people that follow it, and I don't know if they follow it like we do. But you're shooting 20 to 25 under every week to win.
Yeah. To make a living.
And they're playing courses like Spirit Hollow. I mean, to relate to the Monroe boys.
Yeah. Tipped out Spirit Hollow with some firm, fast greens. Yeah.
I mean, they're shooting 25 under.
Yeah. It's pretty wild what they can do with a golf ball.
They know where it's going. Unlike me.
I'm with you, buddy.
It's like Christmas every time I hit it. It's a new gift. It could be good or it could be bad.
I don't know. Your gift's a little different from mine. But I tell you what, me and Josh Potterfield playing that Mike, and AJ, I think you know what we're talking about here. We said we were in the featured group because our drivers get so squirrely that mm-hmm. we're hitting for some pretty weird lies and some pretty, you know, crazy places. So
yeah.
I'm in the feature group every week just because my fucking driver gets squirrely.
Yeah,
baby.
See something fun.
We got to bring up at some point, too, Baggett's bachelor party, though, how we were down about $40 and profit about $140.
Let me hear this story.
I tell you what, Trey, who drafted good, though?
Yeah, baby.
I said, all right. So me and Miles Kite and Reed Plunkett are the three worst get a pick. So there are 9 people that go and 9 people that went on this bachelor party, and the worst 3 got to pick teams. And so us three pick teams, and then Baggett texts back in the group chat, and he said, also, Barry, you're playing from the tips. You don't get to play from the upsies for the other two. And after arguing with him for an hour and telling him that I just wasn't going to go and I was going to stay home and save my $300, I decided to go. And so I had the last pick in every round, and so I picked Butler. And then they go back through and they pick again, and I'm like, really, you all are going to leave me Tim Schreg? I mean, I've heard the one-man stories. I know that, like, I've heard for the past, like, 2 years that he was AJ and Mike's MVP of the four-man because he just hit every wedge to pick up, basically.
That was a good run.
So I draft Schreg and Butler, and I'm thrilled to death. And then you take it from there.
Well, I mean, we first of all, playing 36 holes at Spirit Hollow was a brute.
From the tips.
I mean.
Yeah, it's a long day.
Whose idea was it to play tips both times?
Baggett.
I mean, my God.
It's his day. Let him do what he wants.
I know. But I wanted to punch him right in the mouth. And I tell you what, I shot 92 from the tips, and I was fucking thrilled.
I mean, I think I three-putted the first hole. Shocking. And I think I parred every hole until we got to 13. And for those who don't know what Spirit Hollow is from the tips, 13 is like 495.
And we were into the wind on
the wind.
Three hardest holes. And I remember going around and we get on 12. And Schreg looks at me and Butler and he said, these next two holes are going to be the biggest MF-er we've ever played, boys. I'm telling you right now. And he wasn't lying.
Yeah.
At 13.
Well, 12's no.
I hit four wood.
Yeah, 12, par three.
It was like 220.
Yeah.
Into the wind. You know, you got Butler hit probably like six iron. I think I hit four wood. Middle of the green made an unbelievable par, but then you're facing 13, 14, 15. I think I went double bogey.
And with the wind even out of your face, I mean, the wind could help you, and it's still. I mean, Monroe guys, you know that it. And we're playing the tips at this time, and it is just a total cocksucker.
In September, it's not like it's the ball's flying that far.
No.
So into the wind in September, I mean, it was everything you had and then some. So I think we actually lost the first 18. We were down like $10. We did okay. We lost to one team, beat another team, but then we're in the afternoon round, and at this point, Baggett's in all kinds of. Beer and Captain. And
yeah, good.
Who knows what else he's in. And I think we were losing in the afternoon round. But then he wants to press.
Ooh, he kept pressing.
And then he kept pressing. And he kept pressing. I remember we asked Reed, and Reed's over there. He's about to cry.
Reed Plunkett doesn't play golf, and when he does play golf, it's not for money like this. And Baggett is down. I remember one time. Baggett is down $70 and turns and looks at me and Tim, and he said, I'll tell you what, I'll just play this next hole for 70. And we both look at each other, and then Butler looks, and Butler's like, yep. And
I'm yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, absolutely, but nobody else on your team's going to do it. So which one of us three are going to fight so we can Baggett?
You want that bet?
I think we played hole 18 for $110.
Nice.
And the back 18 was a scramble.
The back 18.
It was a three-man scramble. It was so our team was me, you, and Butler.
And then we picked up Barr.
You're right, because we did some finagling up
there. Yep, because they got five, we got four.
They got five, and we got four.
So it was we picked up Barr, which was a great pickup.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was Baggett, Johnny, Reed.
Baggett, Johnny, Reed, Miles, and Horner.
And Horner. And Miles got to play the upties.
Mm.
So all that right. was pretty clutch on yeah. some of the tee balls.
Oh, dude, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how he could see it on the back nine.
No, because Miles was in just as much shit as
he was in. He was in rare
form. Miles is good at doing that.
Yeah. He was in rare form, but I think when he pulled up to the course, he was in rare form.
But also one other thing. So we come back in, and I shoot my 92, and Schreg. So we're playing low 1-2. On the front, and so Butler shoots, what's Butler, 74?
73, I think.
73.
Yeah.
You shoot 77, 79.
I shot 78.
78, and then I shoot my 92. And then So we're kind of going up there on the balcony, you know, where everybody sits up on the balcony.
Watches it. Oh, yeah, it's awesome.
And so Big John comes up there, and I can't remember if I got this right or not, but Big John's chipping, and, of course, I'm drunk and mouthing. And I say, what's this for, Big John? And he said, I make this, I shoot 64. Did he shoot 65 or 67?
He shot 67, 5 under.
But I'm from the tips at Spirit.
That's like 62 at Westview.
Yeah, that's playing some golf.
I mean, I remember Baggett getting done shooting 75, and he's like, I mean, I didn't – he's like, I thought I was doing pretty good. And then Big John comes in and shoots 67.
Well, I mean, just to tell you how hard it is, though, like I was playing good. I was one over going to that 13. Mm-hmm. Double, whatever the fuck I finished with. But, yeah, to shoot 67 from the tips on that golf course is unbelievable. And I bet if we asked John, I mean, he would even agree that that's one of his top five rounds.
Gotta be. That's so good.
No doubt.
Yeah.
From the tips there, that's good. John will tell you that.
Yeah, and we knew he was playing good because he wasn't responding to any group tests.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't saying a word.
Yeah. So, John, you can't hide it.
Keeping it quiet.
All I know is I, and I'm going to leave this right here. I'm going to say this, and I'm walking away from this story, is, Shrey, I wish I would have went home with you when you did. I wish you would have just dropped me off in Illinois and Quincy, and I would have walked home.
Yeah, I'm pretty proud of my wife for making me come back that night.
So, yeah, a late night for you?
Yeah, and it was bad.
Oh.
And
that's
the end of that story, and we're moving on.
Josh?
So we got some questions to ask Tim.
Let's do it.
We're hopping right into it. So, all right, Tim, I thought of these at work today, and I texted him some of these, but not all of them. So, what's your favorite term of the year?
Oh, yeah, definitely one man.
Mosswood's one man is definitely
Mosswood's one man. I mean, it's a true one man. I like the one man because even though it's a scramble, like you don't rely on anybody else. It's all you.
Mm-hmm.
You either shoot even or you shoot 13 under par.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes in a scramble, you see, like if AJ hits it to pick up,
mm-hmm.
and I'm hitting after him, you don't even think about it. And then you go slap one somewhere else. It's all on you. It's just so much fun. It's, you know, you shot what you shot. You know, if we go shoot 20 under in the four man, I might have contributed four shots.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
But if I go shoot 10 under in a one man, I played okay.
Yeah, you
can. Mm-hmm. There's just something about it. Like, you know, it's kind of like your own individual tournament. You hold the pride on what you shot that day because you can say, hey, that's what I went and shot.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just something I probably haven't played in very many one-mans the last 3 or 4 years. And it's so much fun, it's, you know, because you hit a good drive, you can pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
But if you hit it to 6 feet and you miss the first one, you got another opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And just posting that number, something to be proud of. I don't know. I mean, what are you guys' favorite tournaments?
The one man.
Yeah, I love the one man.
Mosswood's one man. Now, don't get me wrong. By the time the four man comes up, I love that too.
Yeah,
I love the four man too.
It's like you said, the one man. I mean, you know, last year I played with Noah and Baggett and Butler, and we're running back this year. But you know, I'm going to tell you, okay, this next year after we win it, and I'm going to tell you all, mm-hmm. I'm going to say, all right, so we won it. You're going to go, okay, well, them three played really good. But in the one man, it's a different deal. It's like,
Exactly. And I mean, you just, like we've touched on, there's so many good players in this area. Like, you know, you have to go put a number up on the board. And if you do it, you just, there's something about the one man that gets the competitive juices going. And, you know, I don't know. There's something about the pride that you're still, you know, you're not washed up yet and you can go compete in the one man, but it gives me that chance for a breakfast ball every shot.
Yeah.
How old are you?
35.
35. I mean, I'm looking at Mike at 52,
Five.
55. And
54, 55. Yeah.
Mike's still balling. So yeah, you still got a while, brother.
Plenty of years.
Nope.
I'm still trying to get better. You know, that's the fun thing with golf is, you know, you can always work on something and try to get better.
Yep.
All right, I got one for you. Is it true, back in college, is it true that one of the tournaments that was won in college by your team, were you potentially not going to make it to the tournament because your coach was still drunk and passed out from the night before, and luckily you were there to get him up and get the team to the golf course?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's real true.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, Coach Griffin had fun on every trip we went on. I mean, I don't know if he planned our schedule around strip clubs, but I'm pretty sure he did.
Yeah, could have. And he was still a really good coach.
He was an unbelievable coach.
He did that. It was pretty impressive.
So this kind of sounds relatable, but do you plan yours around strip clubs, or do you?
Well, I definitely plan it around something fun. Let's put it that way.
There you go.
Strip clubs are too much work for me.
There you go. Yeah.
I definitely plan it around, you know, I plan it around Nashville or, you know, something that I can get out of it. But, yeah, I mean, so –
is that part of the recruiting process for you? Or are you like, all right, boys, so I need you to come to Culver, and we're going to have a lot of fun. And every tournament we go to that's away, you know, like several miles away, we're going to go to Nashville, or we're going to go to Vegas, or we're going to go to Florida, or we're going to – is that part of the recruiting deal?
Yeah, it's a good selling point there, getting to Nashville.
I definitely – part of the selling point for real is playing a lot of good golf courses. Yep. Yeah, I mean, there's from when we had that run, we definitely get invited to these better tournaments.
Yep.
And a lot of these better tournaments are in cities where I can go have my own fun after I feed them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's like, boys, golf's over. We're going to eat.
Yep.
See you later.
It's good.
You guys don't need to know where I'm going.
Yeah, that's good. You earn it. And most people don't realize what a day of coaching college golf is. Like what it actually goes on.
It's, oh my gosh.
It is a long, long day with a lot of work.
So let me just tell you about one of them, and I'll give a longer day this year. We were at a course in Newton, Kansas. It's they used to have a U.S. Pub Links there. We got up. We were eating breakfast at 6:30 in the lobby. We left at 7. We teed off at 8:30. So we're eating breakfast at 6:30. We leave at 7, right, to get to the course to warm up. We tee off at 8:30. We play 36 holes of golf. We get done at 6:30. So just think about this. We're out there for 12 hours, or we're up for 12 hours at this point as a team. Yeah. So you know, as a coach, and AJ, you can hit on this, but you know. We're never a coach that just sits there in the cart.
Right.
You know, I'm always out there either pulling a club for him, reading the green, seeing what the wind's doing, things like that. But, you know, you got 12 hours committed from the time you're at breakfast and kind of going over the plan for the day to the time we finish. Man, that's a long time on the golf course and a long time spent with those players, getting them to buy in, getting them to give you everything they got.
Right. It's stressful the entire time you're there. So that's 12 hours of the day.
Yeah.
Then when you're done with that, you got to get them back. You got to get them fed. Mm-hmm. Got to get them in bed. That's another thing. I mean, they're kids.
On top of this, though, I mean, it's school. I mean, we're not at a big-time program here. I mean, they've got homework that travels with them. You know, they've got tests that they need to prepare for. I mean, it's a long day for them guys too. It's when that's definitely a thing I tell the recruits. If when we go on golf trips, it's not a vacation. You're there to do a job, and you're there to be a student athlete. I mean, it's a big commitment, because with golf, you're missing 2 or 3 days at a time. You're not just missing one afternoon. A lot of our tournaments are on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, where you've got to be ready to travel. You got to be ready to stick to your grades. I mean, it's a tough commitment. But going back to your story, though, we played good. There was one in particular, though, that knocked on the door, Coach Griffin. He opened his door, and his eyes were redder than this Smirnoff right there. Thank God he had pants on, though, because Griffin always told me how he went commando.
Yeah, Coach Griffin, he was
He was an unbelievable golf coach.
Yeah, he was a true and just kind of a legend all the way around, you know. And That was another thing. We so we qualified for the national tournament, and when we found out we qualified, we were on the way home from a trip, and get a phone call, or we're on the phone with Nancy Lopez.
Yeah.
I mean, World Golf Hall of Famer, and she's congratulating us on making it. And it's because Coach Griffin used to caddy for her and had that relationship with her. Mm-hmm. So that, I mean, that's pretty cool. As a college golfer, you just go accomplish something you want to accomplish and then have maybe one of the best female golfers in the history of golf.
In the history of the LPGA.
Yeah, call you and congratulate you on doing that. So that was cool. Coach Griffin, I haven't talked to him in a long time. I hear he's out at Phoenix Country Club now.
Yeah.
And maybe it had something to do with their professional program there or something.
Yeah, so I stay in touch with him quite a bit. He actually sent me a video. They just, for those who don't know, they just had the Champions Tour kind of season finale there, and he's working there, kind of like a PR guy in a way, professional but a PR guy. And he just sent me a video of Phil on the first tee. He's just chumming up with the big wigs. Here, I'll show you that, AJ. He finds his way into a lot of different roles. He's kind of the one that got me onto Portachima. Mm-hmm. He was GM of Portachima, and
that's right. I remember that.
We were able to host a couple college tournaments there, and I would imagine some of your listeners here either played Portachima or tried to play Portachima.
Most of them know, you know, it's not Lake of the Ozarks. It's pretty much the golf course down there.
Yeah, and, you know, we were able to – I've probably played Portachima about 15 times, which I paid $0 for.
That's unbelievable.
Which, you know, I think it's a $10,000 initiation fee just to be a part of.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, going back to it, though, he was one that – you know, got you to buy into what he was saying. He's the one that taught me short game, I'll be honest. He instilled the short game was the importance, and that's what I try to pass on to the people.
All right. So we're talking about recruiting.
Yeah.
We talked about it a little bit there. So I got to ask you, how did you not recruit my boy, Noah Wilson? How didn't you get Noah? You had Butler, you had Big John, they're buddies, and you couldn't get Noah?
I hope Noah listens. I'm going to make sure Noah listens.
He does.
I'm going to make sure. So Noah visited. I felt really, really, really good about Noah coming to Colchester. And he told me, and this is honest to God truth, if he tells you differently, I want to hear it. He said, "You guys are too good. I won't play." I said, "Dude, you're going to get some playing time, whether it's going to be as a team or an individual. You are going to play, and you are going to be a foundation for this team moving forward." Because Baggett, at that time, Noah would have been a freshman. Baggett would have been a senior. Johnny would have been a senior.
So Noah's your three.
Noah would have been top five for sure. And he says, "You guys are too good. I got to go somewhere where I can play."
Noah's good, dude. That was bullshit. He fed you some bullshit, and that's fine. I don't care. No, do what you got to do, brother. But I'm telling you.
He gave me a line of shit. I tried to recruit him every year since, too. I still try to recruit him. I said, "Are you coming back for your COVID year?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "You need to come to Culver Stockton for your COVID year then." I've tried to recruit him every year, get him away from Utley. But, no, I mean, you can't be mad at him. He's just a little feller.
Hey, he's playing golf. Shit, you can't be mad at him.
He beats our ass, though, a lot of tournaments he goes to.
He's a bad little motherfucker, dude.
You think I putt it good? Have you ever seen him roll it?
I know, and Noah has got a hold of me on rolling in that two-man with him, Mosswood two-man with him. And Flute, I don't know that it's for sure Flute dog, because normally me and Flute run it, but I don't know. Noah's talked about trying to recruit little homies. All right, Trigg.
Kicking Flute out, huh?
I'm not saying that.
He would understand. He would.
So I got one more for you, talking about recruiting wise.
Okay.
If you had to pick one, you can only pick one on your team.
Oh.
Big John or Baggett, who you taking?
Current day or back in?
Right now, today.
Today I picked Big John. Sorry, Baggett.
That's fine. He's crappie fishing.
No, that's fine. Baggett's on my team in the four man. Don't touch him.
Big John. So Big John, when he was back in college, was playing a big old slinger.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it was hook or die. And now he's got that thing dialed in, working in the country club. His short game has gotten, he's pretty salty.
Oh, I know he's salty.
He's pretty salty right now. Back in the day, it might have been pretty tough, though. Baggett's swing is so good. He might have the prettiest swing of any kid I've ever recruited.
But he's ugly.
Dude, so let me go back to this. So when I was talking to this guy, his dad called me and said, "I want my son to play for you at Culver Shotgun." I said, "All right, that's cool." Never heard of the kid. I don't know how this worked out, but me and my buddy Jaron went to Phoenix for the Phoenix Open, and Mark Baggett and Hunter Baggett went out to the Phoenix Open. So I meet Hunter Baggett for the first time in the Phoenix Open. I have 14 beers in. I meet Hunter Baggett for the first time.
Yeah, when you're at the Phoenix Open, you get, as they say down there in Phoenix, they say get amongst it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Yeah, get them. I was.
Didn't know you drank beer, Shrek, but go ahead.
First time for everything, Bear. I see Hunter Baggett. Well, I see Mark Baggett, right? And he's walking over to introduce his son. And he is there in a purple shirt and lime green pants. I said, "You want me to recruit this kid?" And on top of that, he had the Rory fucking poof.
Oh, yeah. I didn't meet him with the poof, but I've seen it.
I mean, I said, "You want me to recruit this kid?"
He could play golf, but...
And, so, you know, I love him, but when he shows up at Mosswood, the nasty fucking orange shorts on...
Dude, he's had those since I recruited
him. No, he showed up on Sunday at a four-man with him, and I told him, I went home and got him some shorts.
Yeah.
We're not wearing them.
So I was not into it until I saw him hit a golf shot. I was oh, my God.
Change your mind pretty quick.
That kid's got a move that a lot of people can't do. And, you know, recruiting Johnny, he wouldn't leave me alone. He probably talked to me more than any of my team.
He still does.
He still does. I mean, he has got to know what's going on or else he is concerned. And, I mean, I love Johnny, though. So, you know, I was lucky to have those kind of kids back at the time. I mean, if you think about it, that second year that we qualified, we had Barr as number one, Cody River as number two, Keller, Johnny, Baggett, Pfeiffer. I mean, Johnny didn't play our conference tournament and got awarded all conference.
That's impressive.
I mean, that's how deep we were.
Yeah.
And I took him as a coach that day just to give him that experience of being at the conference championship. And all of a sudden, we're doing awards, and I didn't even know at the time. They said, "Yeah, and John Roberson." I'm like, "What? He didn't even play." But that's how good he was throughout the entire year. He makes all conference, and he didn't even play a conference championship.
Yeah, you got to be a solid team if that's going on. That's crazy.
We hit number 21 in the nation. That's pretty good. And I think, you know, being a Midwest school, it's tough to kind of get the love because we don't play all year round.
Right.
And we don't have the Raiders that kind of understand the weather that we go through. So hitting number 21 in the nation was pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not playing in perfect conditions all the time. It's there's some factors there that aren't considered, and they should be.
Yeah, we shot. I remember when we played TPC Deer Run one year, we shot 304 the first day in some of the worst weather I've ever seen. And then it was cleared up that second day. So I think we were in like 13th place after a 304. And we shot 291 the second day, and we moved up to fifth. And it was the NAIA National Championship preview. So we got fifth. In the NAIA National Championship preview.
Yeah. So pretty much, I mean, that should almost tell you they're close to the fifth best team in the nation there. Yeah.
And what makes it fun, though, is that they were all local, like we touched on earlier. There's a bunch of local kids.
Yeah. Right. Going up against these guys.
Internationals.
Yeah. All internationals and playing in schools in Florida and Texas and where they get to play all year long. And I know their resources are so much better than what you have up at Culver. And Yeah, it's awesome to see those kids show up and, you know, compete against the guys. And it also makes you wonder, hey, if these kids from here, what if they had those resources that they got down there? Yeah. What are we going to see out of them, you know? Golf swing like Hunter's that gets those resources. I mean, unreal what could happen. Same with John. It's
good to see them guys stick around too. I mean, it's fun for all of us in this room to get to play with them. And, you know, I think they're all proud of playing and what they accomplished at Culver. So it's fun to see them come back and play and compete and, you know, just have kind of the talks that we've had with them. And, you know, just in the back of our minds, know we accomplished a lot as a team is something that we won't ever forget. Hopefully one day we'll be awarded into the Culver Hall of Fame, just like we should be at John Wood. I mean, we accomplished a lot at John Wood. So, you know, those are memories that we look back on that it's pretty cool that we accomplished that.
Yeah, it is. It is. All right, so you got any more recruiting questions for me?
I'm done. I'm done messing with him. I got the pot started.
All right.
I can't wait till this comes out and knowing Big John and Baggett are texting you and I.
Yeah, oh, yeah, they get to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, we better wrap it up here. We've been at it for a while. Tim, thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
Coming over.
Good time.
Yeah, it was a great time getting to talk to you about these things. And
time goes by fast out here.
It does. Yeah, when you're on the pod, I mean. It does. It's a lot of fun to do this. Josh, good to get back on here with you.
And yep, and AJ and I've been talking about some other ones we wanted on here, so we're gonna make it happen and look forward to what the future holds.
That's right. All right, everybody. We will talk to you later.
See you, boy.